Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Richie Rich.
And we'll be joined soon by Peekless Mountaineer, but
that bum.
I was going to say, that pumpkin fest traffic is holding him up, I guess.
That's the lamest excuse. I'm calling him out on the radio. I also commute to the studio, and I didn't even know there was a pumpkin fest going on until I hit the detour. Hmm. I'm like, I'm still going to be on time.
That was a detour. Just yesterday, pumpkin fest, I think, started, if not, was just, like, getting set up, because there's a bunch of pumpkins downtown and, like, lights and stuff. And there was nowhere for me to get food with, like, less than a 25-minute wait of just going and picking up the food. And I was okay. Like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, my God, it's Pumpkin Fest. All these hill people are coming out of nowhere. Like, we got to go into the city, Keen, because the Pumpkin Fest is going on. So
I had an article for Show Prep a week or two ago, and it was like a whole town of Vermont that shut down the town to outsiders. Wow. During leaf peeping season.
Oh, like, I saw that you posted that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, like, kind of cool.
Shut it down. Like, no foreigners allowed. If you're coming to do the leaf peeping, too bad. You got to go.
And now we are joined by Peekless Mountaineer. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
The single bearded son of a gun tonight.
Happens from time to time.
All right.
Got to bring more beard to the Free Talk Live just to balance things out, make the transition easier.
So he normally has more than one beard, is what you're saying?
Yes, he does. He usually has two beards.
The braids?
Yes.
So one beard. But you know who doesn't have a beard? Which is honestly kind of surprising, because I feel like it would kind of maybe even out his head with his big, bushy hair shape. Javier Milei.
Oh, okay.
He has a really strange head just because of the weird shapeless haircut he kind of has. It just looks so large, and it always makes me laugh when I see it. He looks like a werewolf or something, but I
very
do kind of like him.
70s.
Yes, it's okay. Very 70s. It kind of looks like a host of someone who used to be a co-host of the show, and I probably shouldn't say who. It looks like Teen Wolf. That's what he looks like. The title of this article from CBC is a chainsaw wielding libertarian could become Argentina's next president. And of course, in the subtitle, they have to say something that makes him sound really bad.
Worse than chainsaw wielding.
Yeah, well.
Or libertarian. There is that. What exactly makes you a chainsaw-wielding libertarian?
Yeah,
I've known a lot of flavors, but chainsaw-wielding?
It's like, I mean, if you cut down a tree with a chainsaw, you're not necessarily like, oh, everyone knows him as the chainsaw-wielder for the rest of your life.
Okay.
So, what, did he chase someone with it?
Who knows? Maybe he dressed up as Leatherface one Halloween.
Or maybe this is just what they call you when you say, yeah, I'm going to remove things. Like, that actually doesn't need to exist. We're going to take that out of government. You chainsaw-wielding libertarian!
You're going to have a bunch of copycats at Pork Fest now, or Pork Fash, open-carrying chainsaws, dressed like Javier Milei.
Isn't the thing they used to... Maybe I'm completely crazy, but isn't the thing they used to set the wooden porcupine on fire a chainsaw and a No, it's like
they wouldn't
two
use
weapons
a chainsaw. Yeah, they wouldn't use a chainsaw to set it on fire.
No, but
but they would use it to cut the wood potentially.
Oh, I don't know why. I just thought that there was something that was like a chainsaw and a flamethrower that they use. But maybe it's not a chainsaw, it's something else. I don't know.
I don't know, but I want to work with you on the design.
Yeah.
You're sitting on a gold mine.
Like instead of one of those guns with a bayonet on it, it's a gun with a chainsaw on it.
That's a thing. They have the chainsaw bayonet.
So. Nice.
I guess I didn't invent it. I'm not going to get rich.
But a chainsaw that is also a flamethrower sounds like a win to me.
I'm with you.
For like doing something in like a forest, if you're trying to deforest or, you know, cut yourself out.
Roasting the gnomes for a...
Right. But you have to take the card from Elon Musk and label it, this is not a chainsaw flamethrower.
Yes. Then it's okay.
That's how you get it through customs.
What did he do with that?
Oh, he labeled his flamethrowers, this is not a flamethrower.
Oh, okay.
That was the official name of the item.
It's also not a very powerful flamethrower. Like, it's not mil-spec.
It's like the one they use for creme brulees.
A little more than creme brulee.
Maybe Javier Milei was just a waiter, you know, going and putting creme brulees on the table and baby flame. Oh, wait, no, it's a chainsaw they're accusing him of having.
They're not calling him a flamethrower-wielding libertarian yet.
Flaming chainsaw-wielding libertarian.
It says, a chainsaw-wielding libertarian could become Argentina's next president. And the subtitle says, country facing high inflation, falling currency, and rising poverty. And it just, you know, they try to make that sound like it's a cause and effect statement. Because why, you know, they just want you to associate the two things.
Yeah, they want you to think about this person and think about everything bad. And think about our people and think about everything good, even though they're the ones causing everything bad.
Right. Like, if he wins and takes over and turns it around, right? Like, what's the narrative going to be then? He's going in to a system that's already highly inflated, right? Currency depreciation, everything you just listed. And he's the libertarian that has a plan to fix it.
If he's truly going to go in and turn things around and he's not just doing this Trump thing where he's pretending he is, then he'll probably get assassinated.
He seems legit, honestly. And I've been burned before by politicians, so I'm pretty careful. But he...
Okay.
He honestly seems to, like, he literally used to teach Austrian economics.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure he's actually going to do the thing where he says, no more printing Argentinian dollars, we're going to go to the American dollar.
And
I get the criticism on that, but, number one, it is a move in the right direction that illustrates that it works, because, I mean, it's a very long haul to move to actually good money.
Right.
Whereas moving to the dollar is going to get you in so much better of a place than Argentina is, it at least is proof of concept. And there's something that happens when you shift the tax base from money printing to money collecting. That it, as bad as government is, it's way worse when they no longer care if you are productive at all.
So right now they're just printing because it's their own central bank. But if they were using another country's central bank, you're saying they'd have to collect it?
Right, they'd have
earn
to
earn it in a way.
Yeah, I mean,
they couldn't print it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying earn it, but their people would have to be productive enough that they could tax that productivity and then collect on it. Whereas right now, it doesn't matter if their people are productive or not; they can just print the money and it spends just as well.
So we have shared on this program and in other venues before the quote: "Absolute power corrupts absolutely."
Mm-hmm.
So libertarian. Austrian economist professor gets the reins of the entire country. Will he then be corrupted?
Almost certainly.
Interesting.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what rate at which he will be corrupted, but almost certainly he will be corrupted.
I wish we could have seen if that happened with Ron Paul, because he is more, I think, just like this guy has somewhat of a crazy bent to him, and Ron Paul is pretty level-headed, and like it would be so much more interesting to see if he got corrupted.
Let me
suggest. What would that even look like?
Right.
It looks like Ron Paul. Here's the thing. Okay, I've said this before. I am not the biggest Ron Paul fanboy like most people are.
Mm. Why is that?
Because he likes to be different.
No.
Edgy.
Edgy and different, but with reason. So Ron Paul.
No reason. The magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Paul's magazine either.
No, he's got
his
the
racist
he's got
magazine.
The,
yeah,
that's the one.
So. Ron Paul took a strategy of victory that libertarians wouldn't take, and he did so by putting an R next to his name in order to win. Right? So there's compromise principles even in that to a small degree. And then while in office, he is on record as voting no on all of these, you know, bills and laws and whatever that comes across his desk, Dr. No. But he also admitted to putting his own personal projects in there for his constituency, knowing that he could vote no and be Dr. No, but that would pass anyway, and the taxpayer funds would go to his county or whatever his
representative.
And I think that's great. Good for him.
That's okay, but don't...
I think that's completely moral.
Well, I would have to know what the bills were. If the bills were something that would cut down on government power, then it would be kind of a good thing.
No, it doesn't cut down on government power because it's actually funneling federal funds.
Then why would he pass?
No. Right.
Yeah, it was when he knew that these were terrible bills that were going to pass, spending bills, because they're always terrible.
Yeah.
So he knew these were going to pass, and he would put his own little pet projects in there to pay off his constituencies, pay off his local area organizations, and, you know, sort of feed back to the people who were helping him out. And I don't think there's anything immoral about that.
Okay.
I think that, look, if these things were going to pass anyway, it's not like he changed them in any... He didn't make them more evil.
But he's the one that put him in.
Well, I do want to pause, and we can come back to talking about Ron Paul, but it is a call-in talk radio show, so I'm going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. We have, it looks like, Brad on the line in New Hampshire or Massachusetts. What's on your mind, Brad?
Hi, good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a former New Hampshire police officer who was deprogrammed by Free Talk Live.
Thanks.
And became a libertarian. And I wanted to talk tonight about minarchism and some exceptions that I think are necessary to the no victim, no crime rule.
Boo.
Okay, well, start with one at a time, and then
I will preemptively tell you you're wrong, but I'll hear you out.
Okay.
Let's do one at a time instead of like listing them out, and then explain yourself, like what you think about it, and then I'll give the co-host a chance to respond.
Sure. So the first one is weapons of mass destruction. I think that in a libertarian state, the libertarian state, the people who are elected, can employ professionals that are able to handle things like nuclear weapons, which shouldn't exist in the first place, and things like biotoxins and things like that.
I want nuclear weapons sold in vending machines.
So, at present, I think we have these weapons of mass destruction in the hands of the least responsible people on the face of the earth. And when it comes to biological weapons, I think that the best thing that we can do is let people figure out how to counter them. Like, sure, you can release, you know, XYZ terrible disease, but if you let us figure out how to counter it, then we have some defense against it. Whereas right now, you have the most evil people on earth, because they were the ones who were willing to do the most evil things to get to the very, very top, who have their hands on the most powerful weaponry.
And I will also say that possession of property is not a crime, right? And you have to use that weapon in some form or fashion that creates a victim, and owning it does no such thing.
Those are the very like principled answers to him, but I would just have to say it's not really... it's not based in fact or anything, but I just believe that most people don't want to spend their time, and they're not smart enough and dedicated and, you know, unified consciousness to where they're going to sit there and really put effort into it to create their own weapons of mass destruction in their backyard and then just shoot them off at people. Like, think of the objectives you'd have to have in your life, like that's what you want to do. Like, how many people are like that? And if we had a society that was a lot healthier, I think that we would be able to, you know, if something like that's going on with your neighbor, I just think that in a totally libertarian society, it's a thing I just don't think would become a problem. And even if it was, I've never seen any problem that was solved just by someone writing on a piece of paper, you can't do that. Because people, if somebody wanted to do that, like right now, even though it's illegal to do that, then they would. But how many people are even attempting to do that?
Yeah, and one thing I'd like to point out is, so a nuclear weapon, yeah, I completely understand why that's an incredibly dangerous thing, but those are expensive. And think about, when was the last time that someone took their multi-million dollar yacht and just slammed it into something for fun?
Hmm.
Like, it's just, it's not a thing that tends to happen. So these very expensive things do tend to have a certain amount of regulation in that if you don't have the sanity for wielding something powerful, you tend not to have the resources to acquire it.
Secession would be a lot easier if New Hampshire had a nuke.
That's true. Yeah, and that's one of the things where if you have if you're aiming for the minimum amount of power to be centralized, then a lot of the most effective tactics in terms of self-defense are to have a couple of self-defense companies that do in fact have a nuclear weapon, just to get other countries to go, I really want to invade New Hampshire? How about I don't do that?
Do you have any response for all of this, Brad?
Well, I just think these things are so dangerous that, you can say, yeah, technically, if I possess a nuclear weapon, or if I have ricin, or if I have sarin gas, or if I have something like that, just having it doesn't hurt anybody. But the potential for destroying the nation is just too high that the possession of these things should be, I believe, as a minarchist, and again, I respect that you guys are anarcho-capitalists and don't believe that a state should exist, but as a minarchist myself, I believe that the libertarian state should prohibit the possession of these things. And I only have two more other exceptions.
Well, hold on. What do you mean when should prohibit the possession of these things? So doesn't the authority that prohibits have the ability to own these things?
They would have to.
Right. I mean,
well, I don't think they should.
At the moment, I think that we're in the worst of all possible worlds in terms of controlling a nuclear weapon. I mean, the dementia patient that is currently in the Oval Office can suddenly decide that he wants nuclear explosions.
And he's already threatened people with
happen.
It. Remember, he threatened people with it.
Right.
There were, like, people that were saying they're anti-government or whatever, and he said, we have nukes, didn't he? Or was it a plane? I don't know.
There's also the difference between I don't think they should, and I'm going to actively stop them from doing.
Mm.
Right, like I grew up in a gun-free house because my dad doesn't think that people should own guns, and so he doesn't. Right, but I did at one point because I make my own choices. Now if he the gun-free guy wanted to stop me, the gun-owning guy.
Oh, in his house, he allowed you to have one?
No, because I moved out and got several when I was here.
Yeah.
But growing up, he was anti-gun, did not like it when my mom got me the gun toys, the dart guns, and all that other fun stuff. Wasn't prohibited in his house, right? But if he then later in life wanted to prevent me from obtaining those things, like a gun or a nuclear weapon, right, by what means would he be able to accomplish that? Right. If I have acquired the nuke and you then all of a sudden try to oppress me by taking it away, then I detonate the nuke. Right. That's the situation you're trying to avoid. You end up creating
right
by your overbearance on trying to take it away from me.
Most likely.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of what's happening in international relations, at least officially, is, you know, Russians don't think that Americans are good enough to have these powers. Americans don't
generally
think
correct.
Russians are good enough to have these powers.
Generally correct.
And now they're very upset with each other, and they're like, well, maybe I'll use mine against you. Well, maybe I'll use mine against you. And we're all sort of stuck in the crossfire saying, please don't.
Or do it already so I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
Well, we're still on item number one. What's your item number two, Brad?
Item number two is traffic offenses. Now, I know this is probably going to make your eyes roll.
My eyes already rolled.
Quite a big difference. disparaging or whatever the word is. It's a big
gap. This is the former cop talking.
Well, in a free market, I will definitely choose to go only on those roads that demand a basic competency of other drivers.
Right.
Well, having done a handful of death notifications, which are incredibly difficult to do, and literally stood in brains on the highway more than once, I believe that most traffic offenses should be allowed in a libertarian society. Most traffic laws should be allowed in a libertarian society, especially DWI, which I believe is so dangerous that it needs to be actively policed.
But what do you think should happen to somebody who owns a road and just decides they don't want to enact those on their road? Not the person who messed up and hurt somebody while driving, but you wouldn't be able to go after all of them. It's this company's road. What do you think should happen to that company? Get their road stolen from them?
I'm a cops, courts, and roads and national defense libertarian, and I think that if there's a private road, someone should have the right to say, yeah, you can drink and drive on it all you want.
Yeah.
But
I would recommend it.
But I think it's a terrible idea, and I've made probably close to 100 DWI arrests in 11 years, and I've been in high speed pursuits with drunk drivers. And it's just so dangerous that I think it's something that needs to be prohibited on a public road or a private road.
Whenever there's an accident between a drunk driver and a sober driver usually dies, and ironically, drunk driver lives.
Mm.
So if you want to survive
that
accident, best thing to be is drunk.
There's a weird logic to that. Well, hold on. I just want to, like, I get what you're saying about really wanting to make sure that people have all their faculties while they're driving. But what I wonder is, what makes you think that a single entity trying to police this is going to be more effective than competing roads and competing methodologies for, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people who also want the people driving with them to be completely sober at the time.
It's the most important question, and it's what I always think anytime a minarchist says, oh, everything should be run by competent private competition, free markets, except these few things. It's like, well, why do you want these few things that you think are so important in the hands of the least competent, most corrupt, obviously just by the nature of the system entity? It doesn't make sense. If it's the thing you care the most about, you would want people who care more to be in charge of it, wouldn't you? I think that most people who owned a road would they would want their roads to be safe, so they would be incentivized to have some kind of rules on their roads. Like, maybe there's something that, like a cop, more of a road security person that could even pull you over if you're driving like a crazy drunk person or whatever.
Or crazy in general, right? Like, you don't have to be, you can be drunk.
Yeah.
You can be drunk
and maintain
the lane, man.
I don't think most accidents are from being drunk. Like, there's like 1,000 or 2,000 accidents every year in Texas. I mean, deaths by accidents. I can't see that being all. Because they list it on the highway.
Well, I think that Texas is an unrealistic standard of human behavior, especially when it comes to driving.
Yeah, it's true. It's pretty bad there. Any answers to that, Brad?
Well,
can bring you back.
Really.
You have another thing on your list, so we can bring you back on the next break. 603-283-6160 is the number to call to get on the air with us like Brad did. 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News update. Humanitarian aid has finally reached Gaza. The aid convoy of 20 trucks that finally entered the Gaza Strip on Saturday was supposed to be filled with medicines, medical supplies, and a limited quantity of canned food, according to the Hamas-controlled government media office, before the Rafah crossing was briefly opened to allow the convoy in. GEICO is cutting its total workforce by 6% as it lays off roughly 2,000 employees.
CEO Todd Combs wrote in a letter that that decision was not taken lightly, and he hopes that move puts the company in a better position for long-term profitability and growth. The letter also said those employees working remote and hybrid roles will now be required to increase days in office. I'm Corey Myers.
Oklahoma's Republican Congressman Kevin Hearn has changed his mind and says he's now running for Speaker of the House. Lawmakers will return to Capitol Hill on Monday. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control, 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Speakless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
And 603-283-6160 is the number you can call to get on the air with us and talk about whatever's on your mind. It doesn't have to be on topic. It's just up to you. 603-283-6160. And we're going to go right back into the calls. We have Brad from... the Northeast, from New England, on the air with us. And Brad is an ex-cop. He got deprogrammed by listening to Free Talk Live, which I think is just absolutely great.
We got one. Some of our
hopefully
finest
more.
It's a success.
Hopefully more than
that's
just
one. That's where we aim.
Do you know, Brad, have you ever met any other cop that came to you and said that they stopped because they also listened to Free Talk Live? Oh. Sorry. I muted you. You're muted the whole time, so
start
if you said
over.
Anything, you ought to restart. Sorry.
Well, Sheriff David Hathaway. That's one.
Really? Hey, from listening to Free Talk Live, he stopped being like a regular cop or something? Or a DEA agent?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. I don't. I don't know anyone else who quit the profession because of Free Talk Live, but I would attribute my relationship with Ian towards leaving. And I just wanted to say, Bonnie, really quick, that I think you're doing a fabulous job running the family business, and I think your crew has come together, and you guys should be very proud.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Well, Brad was calling
and
in.
So I have,
oh, go ahead.
I have one more thing that's sure to make me many friends.
Okay, he's calling in telling
us... moving into your territory, Rich.
I don't make any friends.
More of a minarchist than a libertarian. He believes in mostly free markets, but in a few areas he thinks that the government is necessary. He already listed driving regulations and...
nuclear weapons.
Ownership of nukes, or just weapons of mass destruction. So what's the third thing, Brad?
The third thing is sales taxes. Now, I think people should own their own property. I know. I think that property taxes.
It's the price of living in a civilized society, Wretch.
No, we don't even have it here.
Yeah, we don't have it in New York.
And look at what kind of society we have here.
Think of the bears.
Think of the bears.
Well, I think.
The potholes.
I think income taxes and property taxes need to go away. I think people need to actually own their property, because there's been so many times where a person works their whole life and then they get older and then they can't afford the home that they've paid the mortgage on because the taxes are too high.
Yeah.
So I think property taxes and income taxes need to go away. But to fund a small libertarian state, I believe there should be a small sales tax. Reflective of the type of thing like gasoline tax to fund the road race.
Yeah, I just don't think it's the only way that a state, even if it had to exist, it's just not the only way that they could possibly make money. Like, there's plenty of, like, cryptocurrency, harebrained ideas nobody was always bringing up on the show. Where
every
he's
solution
about,
requires a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, it's true. With nobody.
Well, a completely non-cryptocurrency way that some local governments have started changing the way that they gather their resources. So they usually have, like, a fund that is set aside. But basically, if you use that fund to invest in good investments, then you can reap the reward of those investments, and you can reach a point where the rewards of your investments are what is funding the government.
How rich people stay rich. Essentially, survive off the interest.
Yeah, essentially, that. And
you can, too, once you're as rich as me.
And that way you don't have to steal from the people to do it.
Do you have anything else to share with us, Brad?
I don't. I thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate the debate with good anarchists.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Reconcile those and join us in anarchy, Brad.
I just appreciate that he is all for allowing a free market in courts.
Mm, yeah. There's a lot of good things that Brad believes. Thank you for the call again.
Not enough.
Yeah, I think that those ones, I think that his mind could be changed on that over after a while, because I just don't think that there's very good arguments for it.
Yeah, the two things that always stick in my craw about X should be done by a violent monopoly is, okay, well, number one, we don't get good service that way.
Right.
Like, it always becomes corrupt. They always stop doing their job and do a bunch of things that aren't their job. And number two, it's proven time and time again with every single thing that there is a charity for and a government-run, essentially, charity for, that the private charity spends 80% of their resources on average, 75-80%, on the actual thing, and only 20% of their resources on running the organization. And it's backwards with government, where
terrible.
They spend 80% of it on overhead and 20% on accomplishing the thing.
And I hate to bring it up now that he's already gone, but like with the drunk driving thing, right? That's already illegal virtually everywhere.
That's your point.
And he was talking about, you know, standing in brains and how it causes harm. Like, it's already illegal, man. You don't have to make it more illegal. It's already there, and you've seen the results.
Isn't that desecration of a corpse, standing in their brain?
Yeah, I kind of wondered a little bit about that. Like, did he mean really standing in it, or like accidentally? I don't know, but I didn't want to get into that on the air.
It's very Halloween-y, though.
Yeah.
If I saw a brain, I would totally stand on it.
You would,
stand on it.
I'm sure.
Stand in it, whatever. How many pieces is it?
How wet of a brain are we talking? Yeah. Are we talking full puddle at this point?
Oh, God.
Can I slip them on my shoes and go left lobe, right lobe, left lobe, right lobe?
The other thing about it is, the other day this guy was walking around knocking on doors for a candidate in our neighborhood. And Joa, he was outside of my house, so he started a conversation with him. I went out to take out my trash, and I kind of joined in the conversation. He was saying basically that he believes that cops are necessary, and I don't know how Joa started this conversation with him, but, you know,
Joa has a way.
Yeah, Joa is, you know, that's his job is, you know, First Amendment auditing, showing that what cops are like in real time and filming it. And so he got into this conversation with this guy who was really pro-cop, and I asked him, I was like, so I didn't really expect his answer to be yes, but I could still make my point with it. I asked him, has there ever been a point in your life where a cop actually saved you from violence or being stolen from or anything like that? And he said, yeah, actually, when I was a teenager, some older kids took my phone, and I was telling them, like, give me back my phone, and they're like, what are you going to do about it? And they're acting like they were going to beat me up, and a cop actually showed up and said, give him back his phone, whatever.
Wow.
And so I told him, okay, well, that's great. They have
an answer for that. The one time in the world that has happened.
Let's say it's true.
I will add a second, if I must. I got hit by a car while riding a moped.
Yep.
And I got knocked out. And I woke up in the crosswalk, and luckily for me, quote unquote, luckily for me, there were undercover cops like on the scene doing undercover cop work.
Hmm.
So they were
the ones that hit you, right?
They were not the ones that hit me, but they were the ones that like protected me from getting hit by follow up cars
while you're passed out on the road.
When I was on like you know out on the road,
did that car just run?
And call the ambulance. Yeah, they ran.
So
again, like because there was a cop already on the scene, they were able to track him down as he drug my moped down the street.
But now,
the bad side of that is I woke up with a ticket.
Dang.
In the hospital.
Wow.
Like after all that, like, oh, here's all your stuff back, and right on top of all my property.
For, like, crossing at the wrong time or something like that?
No, it was for driving without a license. Cause
wow.
They asked for it while I was, you know, woozy on the ground, and I didn't provide anything, because why would I?
Well, so here's my thing with, like, both of those stories. Anytime a cop has helped someone in real life, and if some listeners out there like, a cop helped me, so, yeah, that's why I love cops, and they're not going to convince me. The thing is that impossible for a situation to happen where your community has funded private security, and they also help you in that situation? Why is that so hard to understand? And when I said that to him, he always said was like, I'm from a black community in Miami, and you're like acting so privileged to act like we can afford private security. It's just like you're just living in this world where everything is so expensive because of the fact that you get so freaking taxed for one thing, and for another thing, you can't like use your imagination enough to think of like it's not the same as like. Right now, like Kim Kardashian walking around with bodyguards.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Yes, Kim Kardashian's birthday, so that's probably what I thought of her.
Happy birthday, Coconut.
And I was going to say, it's also Coconut's birthday, so he's 6 now. Oh my God, it's crazy.
But, so, yeah, what is that? Yeah, I mean, it's an extremely regulated industry.
Right.
And, like, number one, it's very, very regulated. Number two, it's something that people already think is being done. Like, that is already covered by police. Therefore, we don't need it. And because of that, no one goes out and tries to get their own security in general. Whereas if that wasn't being covered by the government, it would be covered privately, like everything else.
We covered a story, me, Lori and Nikki on Wednesday, that was like blowing all of our minds because I had never heard of something like this happening. It was in Minneapolis, pre-George Floyd. They had a racket going where every business, even businesses that didn't want security, but the city deemed they had to have it, was being forced to hire only cops, for off-duty cops for security.
Oh, yeah.
And they were running up the prices like they were only like, I have to work for $160 an hour, and they were being forced to hire them. And they would like go off and answer cop calls or just like sit in their car on their phones with their girlfriends or whatever. Like, yeah, I think the prices are obviously unnaturally high for something like a person that stays around the vicinity of a neighborhood you're in and like responds to calls. It shouldn't be $160 an hour necessarily.
It's somewhere in Michigan, maybe Detroit. There's a free market alternative to the police.
Yeah, I think it's Detroit.
Okay.
Somebody brought that up.
Okay. And they like charge by the call.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's they will respond to your emergency, but then you get the bill.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a disincentive to call them for random things that you don't need emergency, you know, security response to.
That's a good idea.
But the agreement, you know, it's a service you sign up for ahead of time. So if you do need them, right, you pay whatever the fee that they're going to charge, and you call, they show up.
See, it's just,
whatever. And so it's free market.
You don't even need a great imagination. It's already happening in some places.
And it's happening because the local police has, like, abandoned that area.
Wow.
As far as security concerns go. Like, you get no service from the cops, which you're taxed for, and then you have to subscribe to this service on top of that just to get the security you need.
Wow.
And, I mean, I know that this is probably not something that everyone knows or cares about, but the inflation is... the stealing that they do on top of all of the theft from the technology. So
right.
What should be happening, our technology has increased. We can do way more with computers than we used to be able to do. We used to have to do that a lot of that by hand. We can outsource a lot of this to different areas of the world. Like, all of this is labor saving, but we don't get to reap any of the benefits. Now, if we had a zero inflation, it would be just the theft of all of that technology increase. But instead, on top of that, they aim for at least 2% on top of what they're already stealing. So, yeah, you would actually be able to afford your private security, even at these inflated prices, if they weren't stealing all of that money from us.
It seems like everything that there's a problem with, that someone who's just now hearing about the ideas of not living under a violent monopoly... they will always say, oh, but, you know, that can't happen because of this. It seems like behind every, that we can't be free because of X, there's an underlying problem that's even deeper, that it's the real problem. Like, for example, my sister's boyfriend, he lives in Oregon, and he is very understandably upset about all the crazy crime going on there, and he just blames, drugs got legalized there. But there's just, I always tell them, I'm just like, the thing is, drugs are also legalized in, like, Spain, and they have pretty good crime rates, like, better crime rates than the rest of Europe, in fact. And, I'm thinking of Portugal, but still.
It's close enough.
And just other places, like cities in different places in the United States, you don't hear about, like, there's cities in Michigan and Massachusetts and... definitely Colorado. Those are the only ones I can think of off the top of my head for sure that have completely decriminalized all drugs. And you just don't hear about the same stuff you hear about in Portland. Why? Because they have specific other things that have been going on for way longer that make their state a place that people want to flock to and do crime. Like, for example, they have basically mild weather all year. So they bring in homeless people in general. Homeless people often have a lot of just like mental problems because they go through a lot, or their mental problems got them homeless in the first place. And then they have like all these laws that give them a lot of welfare. They have no reason to or incentive to do better in their life or, you know, reason to live at all. So there's all these people with no reason to live, and they have terrible gun laws and all these other things I probably don't even know about because I've never like really researched Oregon's laws, but I just know they're bad.
So yeah, you have all this additional danger and no ability to protect yourself.
Right.
Yeah, that makes for a very violent area.
Well, let's also acknowledge that poor areas tend to be underserved by security services.
Right.
And a lot of these poor areas are government subsidized, right? Mm-hmm. Your subsidized housing, Section 8, welfare recipients. So it's also not fair to say that they would have money if not for the taxes, because a lot of these areas are tax recipients, right? Not tax spenders, or however that works, right? Like their lifestyle is already getting subsidized.
And that's the problem to me. To me, it's not as much about, like, they don't have enough money because they're getting taxed so much. Well, in the richer areas, they are getting taxed so much. But in the poor areas, their problem is getting money from the government.
Right.
Like, that's what makes
their lifestyle. If they don't get money from the government, they're not going to be able to afford security.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, these are poorer areas. They need extra help. Sure. Now, we just discussed a moment ago how when the government steps in to help, you get 20% of the resources that are thrown at that.
Understood.
And you also get a ticket for being knocked out.
Right. As compared to the 80% that you get with a private charity.
Understood.
So all of those people, A, that would help these people in these areas, A, they've had their money directly stolen by all of this inflation, all of the money printing, and B, they are disincentivized to help these areas because they're supposed to be cared for by the government.
It is a good point to point out that even people who are getting their entire lives subsidized by the government, even they're still getting stolen from because of inflation. It's kind of a thing you
right.
forget about sometimes.
But you can't, if they're net negative as far as productivity in the world and in the marketplace, there's no way that they're going to be able to afford a protection services on top of that.
Well,
sure, and that's why charity exists, is to help the people that need the help. But, like, right now, okay, these are dangerous areas that the police do not like to go because it makes their job more difficult to go there. So
they're not able to arrest people for, like, having even, like, a pound of meth anymore.
Let's also suggest these dangerous areas for a private security firm is going to cost more to serve because of the enhanced.
Fair enough. But there are people who are really concerned with the people in these areas, and they are not legally allowed to provide protection services to these people that are underserved.
And that's also why I try to tell him, I don't think the answer necessarily to Oregon was right now. Like, if every bad law went away at once, it'd be one thing. But to have all these terrible laws and then only take away the bad laws on drugs, I think it was done on purpose. It's the perfect storm of a place for, there are already tons of meth heads. Like, it's a huge place for meth and heroin and just, like, people using drugs in general. And then it's also a huge place for homeless people. They have all these bad laws. It was just, like, you didn't start at the foundation. Of the problem. You started with something that would...
Yeah.
It's good
They had
for
the
freedom.
Problems, and then they decriminalized the drugs, and they still have the problems.
Right. And, in fact, now people have something to point at. Oh, it's just because the cops won't arrest people for meth anymore. As if that was helping before. Like, it's just more in the news now, for one thing. I mean, I'm not going to say it only is, because I'm not there. But we do have some people on the line. Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania... You're on the phones with us, Ricky. What's on your mind?
Thank you there, Miss Bonnie. Brother Richie, Pecos Mountaineer, good evening.
Evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just had to sit here. I'm wearing my battle flag corset, and I was sitting there, and I got a couple things to talk about.
Wait, battle flag corset?
No, I'm wearing my battle flag, of course.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, no doubt. Now, here's the thing.
Because one does not call into a radio station without wearing one's battle flag.
No, absolutely.
Best use of toilet paper ever.
I wouldn't have it on any other way.
I just wanted to know if there was, like, a man version of corsets.
There is.
Oh.
There is, no doubt.
They're called,
girl? Just to give a little structure here. I got a couple things to say about Brad. Then I'm going to reiterate about... you know, my police reform plan that Brother Ian liked back in July. I think you like that. And then mention about taxes and solving that.
Now, what are you going to conclude with?
Well, No, I got this. I got it. Hang on. A couple things about Brad. Now, first of all, to start off, just from the beginning, driver's license ever since 1920, unconstitutional. So that's besides the point. Now, it's no secret that I do want to blow the U.S. Constitution away. Now, that comes into play. Now, let's think about this drunk driving thing. Now, this car, last I looked, belonged to that individual, and they're supposed to be under control of their own car, not to law to them. Now, question. Now, this guy says he has the authority to not only follow them, but chase them. Now, my question is, how many people did he give in danger in the process of this?
I always
you
think
know,
that.
The thought of reckless endangerment come to mind. And potentially, if there's a victim, manslaughter. And that's point number one.
Oh, but they'll blame the drunkard who ran away.
Yeah, they're making us chase them.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
Now, here's more. There's more. Now, also, now he says, he says he's not brainwashed anymore. Well, I'm going to take that. Save him a couple more points to that. Now, he also said about, taxes. Now, I'd already spoke to Miss Bonnie about this before. I'm going to reiterate this. I have canvassed this, and I know this will work here in the Commonwealth. Now, the way it works is very simple. You blow it all away, income tax, property tax, school tax, sales tax. Well, how do we pay for simple little things? Well, that's very easy. I know that'll work here. Our canvas is very simple. What we do is we put forth a memorandum, and we put forth maybe, say, 1% or 2% we choose. Okay, and we get the number.
I choose zero.
Well, you can choose that. See, that's the best part of this if you live in Pennsylvania here. And I'm going to tell you how it works, because it's voluntary.
Right now?
After I blow it away, it will be.
Keep using that term.
Hey, I'm all for making what is currently a tax no longer a tax by making it voluntary.
And here's how it works. It is voluntary. Now, because people, and I'll tell you what, people here love to be part of things, especially their government. So they would be more than happy to pay for it in their community. Now, not everybody always got the money. And if you don't got it, you don't have to pay it. Now, you said last time, wait a minute. Miss Bonnie said last time, what if you're a millionaire? Well, I know one thing here in the Commonwealth.
There's no millionaire.
Is everybody going to know about that millionaire not paying? It's not going to be any secret. Mm. He won't be a millionaire long.
Rich.
So let's move on. Now, here's all about police reform. Now, Brother Ian liked this when I said it the last time. I do have a solution for police reform. Now, this is based on the demographic here in Pennsylvania.
Sorry. Yes.
For the record.
Can't say that when I'm on, Bonnie.
What's that? No, this is actually good. Now, Brother Ian liked it.
I'm ready to hear it. It's fine.
Okay. It's based for Pennsylvania. This probably won't work anywhere else. Now, here's how you do police
reform.
What
a useless example.
You know when you interrupt to be asked to start over, right?
No, it's real simple. Brother Ian liked it. I don't know if you're going to like it, Richie.
Told you.
Now, here's the thing. What you do is very simple. I'm looking to eliminate 80, possibly 90% of local cops, number one.
We got to
reserve a small portion for places I don't even want to consider part of the Commonwealth, like Philly.
Respectfully disagree. Go on.
That being said, what do we now do? Very simple. We keep the county sheriff. Yes, we do. Now, ain't no more U.S. Marshals and all that. That's all gone. Okay, but we need to add more deputies to the county sheriff. And now
deputize everyone.
Yeah.
Hold on.
So that was actually what I was thinking about, like, with the cop that helped him not get bullied. It's like, well, if you just had everyone have the training and the same a level playing field of expectation for your behavior, then anyone could just come up and make sure that those bullies don't bully.
Thank you for the call. We're going to bring him back when we come back. 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.